Driving to school the other day with my boys, I was listening to the news. In fact, I find it interesting that in light of current events, my boys are actually listening to news. And I heard about a Senate hearing in which a retired general, an expert in biological warfare, was asked to assess the situation of the safety of our water supply in the United States. And after his report, he said, I emphatically but reluctantly declared, we are unprepared. Within the same newscast, they interviewed a woman doctor from the Center of Disease Control, in which he was asked about our readiness here in America in case there's biological warfare, or actually a biological attack. And after she talked for a while, she then declared, we are unprepared. And if that isn't enough, yesterday, for those of you who listened to the news and heard about the Senate vote on airline security, may have noted that a Democratic senator in particular was very upset by the vote on the floor of the Senate, and he declared, we do not and should not need to limit our civil liberties to protect our citizens, even in the situation we're facing currently. Now, as a Seventh-day Adventist, understanding Daniel and Revelation the way I do, I wonder, are we unprepared? Let's find out. I invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Luke 17, and let's find out about our preparedness or unpreparedness. Luke, the 17th chapter, we're going to look at verse 20. I have something I think the Lord wants us all to understand and grapple with, even if it won't be completely illuminated today for your mind. It is something that we need to wrestle with. Luke 17, we're going to begin with verse 20. I want you to take your Bibles and turn there with me. I'd like everybody to do that. It's always good to follow along together and read these incredible scriptures. Here it is. You have Luke 17, verse 20. And having been questioned by the Pharisees as to when the kingdom of God was coming, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed. Nor will they say, look, here it is, or there it is, for behold, the kingdom of God is in your midst. The kingdom of God is in your midst. Now, first of all, let's look at the setting of this utterance by Jesus here in answer to a Pharisaical question. And of course, the Pharisees, again, they said, the kingdom of God, or they said, when is the kingdom of God coming? That's the question they asked Jesus. Okay? Now, first of all, we must recognize that this question was asked almost 4 years after John declared the kingdom of God is at hand. That's in Matthew. Okay? Secondly, this question was asked Jesus in public with his disciples and others standing around a little over 3 years after Jesus had said, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent and believe the gospel. That's Mark, the first chapter, verse 15. In other words, folks, in order to understand what Jesus said in answer to this crucial question, when will the kingdom of God come, notice that question, first of all, denied John the Baptist had any validity whatsoever in his ministry, because remember, he said, the kingdom of God is at hand. That means right here, by the way. Right here, the kingdom of God. Right now. Secondly, Jesus himself had said the first thing, these men were constantly opposing Jesus. They were rejecting John the Baptist, and they were opposing Jesus. You see, the Pharisees had seen no indication of the establishment of the kingdom. And so they asked the question. Now let's look carefully at what Jesus said in answer to that question, and we'll see what that has to do with our preparedness or unpreparedness. He said, the kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed. In my margin, it says, is not coming with observation, or is not coming with signs. See, my Bible is a literal translation of the Greek, and that's why I like it so much, because the Greek word there really implies signs to be observed. In other words, the Greek word there for observations means watching for something. Now get this, I like this. You scientifical type people will like this. That is ocular evidence. Folks, they were looking for a structure, see? The scribes and Pharisees were looking for a system. And notice that Jesus immediately in answer to the question pointed out that it will not come by observation. Always watching for something, looking for something. The King James says, not with outward show. And I like that. Not with outward show. Now, I want you to notice, too, that verse 21 actually flows with verse 20. This is all the same answer. He said, the kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed, nor will they say, here it is or there it is. See, it's a continuation. Please notice the flow. But finally, when he gets to the end of verse 21, he answers the question and puts it to rest for all of us. And herein is what we need to pay attention to. For he says, the kingdom of heaven, of God, is in your midst. Now, in the Greek, that word, in your midst, is entos. Entos means in the genitive, which this happens to be genitive because it has to do with the kingdom of God. Of God is genitive, meaning in the midst. That word means either within you or in your midst. Now, the King James, the New International Version, and the New King James says the kingdom of God is within you. My Bible, the New American Standard, and the Revised Standard Version, those two say in your midst. And I want you to know that I don't really care which one you choose. It's all right with me because, first of all, if you accept the translation in your midst, then Jesus is saying, here I am. You get it? Here I am. I am the kingdom of God. And if you reject me, folks, you're rejecting the kingdom of God. It's me. Here's the bottom line. There is nothing else. You see, the Pharisees especially were looking for deliverance from the Romans. They were looking to be elevated to positions of trust and to positions of leadership in amongst the Messiah's kingdom, and to build beautiful houses and to lord it over all those who are underneath them. That's exactly what they were looking for. Now let me translate that in our language today. They were looking for material possessions. And Jesus said, it does not come with material possessions. It comes with me. A relationship with me. I am the kingdom of heaven. Now, if you want to say, I like the translation of the King James, the New International Version, and you like the New King James, then you accept the translation that the kingdom of God is within you. And of course, right away, if you're an astute, quick-thinking person, which I'm not often quick-thinking, you'll say, wait a minute, is he implying that the Pharisees have the kingdom of God within inside of them? And obviously you know that that's not true. What Jesus was saying, though, if you want the kingdom of God, It is within you. It is within you. So either translations answer the question for us, what the kingdom of God really is all about. Now, what does this have to do? What does this mean, by the way, and what does it have to do with are you unprepared? Well, let's take a look at John, the first chapter. Let's go to John, the first chapter. And let's look at verse 1 of John 1, and probably 75% of you could recite that from memory, right? Okay, we have fun together, don't we? So let's do it together. Okay, you ready? John 1, 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Okay, very good. It might have been 80% of you. 83%. Now please notice the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we all know that Jesus is that Word, and He is God. Now notice verse 14, and again you probably can all quote that from memory. And the Word, what? Became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as the only glory of the Father. Brothers and sisters, the kingdom of God is the melding of the human with the divine. That's how the kingdom of God is with you. That we, in our human bodies, must have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ through the indwelling Holy Spirit, and then we are prepared no matter what is going to take place, do you see? And right now, at this crucial time in which we live, in which fear is very high, and folks, fear is very high. People do not know what's going to happen. They are afraid to get on planes. We had a young lady this week tell us she doesn't even want to take a shower for fear the water could be contaminated. And how many of you thought, next time the mail comes, I'm going to look at it very closely from a distance first? Come on. And I want you to know something. Jesus is loudly and clearly saying to us, folks, don't go there. Yes, be cautious, all right? Be wise, be intelligent. But the truth is, the kingdom of God is within you. A relationship with Jesus Christ will prepare us for no matter what is coming. And we need to be prepared, folks, because we got to help those out there that don't have the peg to hang their hat on that we do, that don't have the anchor to hold on that we have, that don't have the foundation to stand on that we do. And that's Jesus Christ. The kingdom of God is within you. And so we see that Christ came to this earth to display what humanity and divinity combined together can do. And the reason why all of us are struggling is because there are certain areas we don't want to let go to divinity, and we want to hold on to that part of humanity. And it could be different things. I mean, it is different things for all of us. No one stands in this sanctuary condemned above anybody else today. No one. Now, you know when I say no one, who that includes? Yes, thank you for pointing at me. And I thought, Lord, these are crucial times. I mean, I'm hearing it. I get off the phone after someone said to me, my mother called me and she's so stressed out and she's afraid of what's going to happen and she's all alone. Then I get out of the car and I go visit someone and they say the same thing to me. I thought, Lord, when we come together on Sabbath, we need to be encouraged. And loud and clear came this story to me that a crucial time, just before Jesus was crucified, His disciples surrounding Him and all the crowd was honing in, and soon they would all be destroyed when they saw Him on the cross of Calvary. He said something incredible. He said, "The kingdom, for behold, the kingdom of God," and I'm going to go King James, "is within you." It's not with outward show. It's not systems, materialism, and the whole list, folks. Whatever you're holding on to, whatever I'm holding on to, that I think that I need above Christ. Our preparedness is determined on our closeness to Jesus. In fact, let me give you Let me give you something, and I'm going to read an email to you. 1 Corinthians 2. I've got to read this to you. 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. And notice what Paul wrote to the believers in Corinth that were struggling with so many different issues. It's incredible. If you read through the book of Corinth, you'll find everything there. You'll find greed, you'll find hatred, you'll find immorality. He went through a whole list of things trying to straighten those people out. And notice what he said, which is the capstone of us today, the day in which we're living. 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. Did I say verse 14? But a natural, this is mine, a natural man, my margin says, an unspiritual man, does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, for he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually appraised, mine says, my margin says, they are spiritually examined. In other words, only those with the Holy Spirit can understand and see things spiritually. So it behooves us to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ so that we can have that Spirit that gives us the discernment. Let me give you a tiny example here. I got this. I thought it was interesting, but I've got to show you how you got to look and think through things more carefully. Just one question. Now that the president has called us to prayer, now that Congress has called us to prayer, now that our governors have called us to prayer, now that the city mayor has called us to prayer, now that the liberal media and most other branches of our American society have called us to prayer, and now that our churches are assembling in special prayer, honorable justices of the Supreme Court, I have one question for you. Now would it be okay to pray in our schools? You know, many Christians are going to rally around this point. And I want to tell you something. Don't go there. Don't go there. Because the kingdom of God is not legislated, folks. It is within you. Jesus worked on people one at a time, individually. Never took on a social cause. Now, do we support things? Yes. In fact, Perry's already announced that in December, again, we got the Bloodmobile coming here. Now, we're going to give wherever we can give, but folks, we're not going to be dragged into these battles that infringe on other people's rights because the kingdom of God is not legislated, it's within you. You know, I remember when the Desert Storm cranked up and we went in there with a vengeance to try to get Saddam Hussein, in which we never did do that. And I remember immediately internet and websites and religious publications were suddenly in Daniel 8, the two beasts of Daniel 8 were no longer Medo-Persia and Greece, even though it says it right in there, but they were now the United States and Iraq. Don't go there, folks. See, prophecy is not being remade now in light of current events. I'm going to make a bold, arrogant statement, but I'm sorry. And I'm not even sorry, because it's true as can be. The Great Controversy is right. That book. The battle is between good and evil. And when Satan enlists war, in which Matthew was told, wrote that Jesus said, there will be wars and rumors of wars, and nations will rise against nation. And you wonder why they do it? Because in war, Satan destroys people for eternity. He loves wars. Even if you're a good guy on the right side. Don't go there. The kingdom of God is in you. Our job is to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, and going out there and helping people and not worrying about these peripheral issues. Jesus will provide. And so what does this have to do with being prepared or unprepared? Brothers and sisters, I did not go out and get a gas mask. Maybe I should. But I'll tell you something. I'm not going until the Spirit impresses me. I need to, because I have another work I need to do. talked about stockpiling food. Man, they're stockpiling food. And I got to tell you something, there are people starving. Wouldn't it be more like Jesus to feed them instead of hoarding it? The kingdom of God is within you. The scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Herodians, the zealots, and the people in general rejected Jesus because they couldn't stand His purity. But when the going got tough, that's who they were drawn to. Because they knew that these individuals stood on principle, and no matter what was happening around them, they could hold on with them, they would make it through. Brothers and sisters, the most prepared statement that I could make to you, for all of us, for our benefit, to prepare for what's coming, is do you have a personal, real live relationship with Jesus Christ? Because the kingdom of God is within you. And that only arrives when the Holy Spirit takes possession of you. On the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was poured out, Peter stood up and he said something. And I know from experience of preaching, he said something that he knew intellectually, but as he said the words, it suddenly meant more to him spiritually. Happens to me all the time when I preach, when he said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord, and you will receive the Holy Spirit." Suddenly Peter said that, and he thought, that's what Jesus meant. We must have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. That's why he said he's got to leave. Man, I never even thought of that. It's expedient that I leave you guys. I must leave you. It's for your benefit I leave you. And they're going, what are you saying? You're crazy, Jesus. And he preached those words, and suddenly the Holy Spirit hit Peter, and he realized Jesus had to leave, or we wouldn't desire the help that we need for this day and age that even Jesus himself couldn't give. Why not? Because Jesus is in human form now and can't be everywhere at once. He gave that up forever for you and I and our salvation, folks. So the Holy Spirit had to be sent. Because he can be in every single person at one time. And suddenly Peter's preaching away and it hit him. And then he realized also how foolishly he had treated 3 years with Jesus Christ. That he had walked with him, he had talked with him, he had ate with him, he had slept with him, and he took the whole thing for granted. And you know what? We can't afford to be that way anymore for ourselves right now. Religion has taken on a whole different meaning to many people. And before the fear subsides, folks, let's capitalize on it. Let's hone our relationships with Jesus Christ. Let's spend time with Him every day because the kingdom of God is within you. In fact, notice, let's go to an Old Testament. Let's just look. I'll close here. Let's go to the Old Testament. Look at Ezekiel 11. And let's see what Ezekiel said at a time when Israel was in bondage. They were in captivity. And folks, as physical Israel was in captivity when he uttered this word, spiritual Israel, which is you and I, are in captivity to sin in this world. And I want you to notice what Ezekiel told our brothers and sisters who were in similar circumstances, even though they were in a different situation. Ezekiel 11:19. Tell me what this reminds you of too. Ready? Have 19? Ezekiel 11:19. And I shall give them one heart and shall put a new spirit where? Within them. And I shall take the heart of stone out of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh. Folks, that's what we need happen every single day. Roll out of bed onto your knees. By the way, I'm going to say that again to you. Roll out of bed onto your knees. Why? Because it's very easy to say, it's very hard to do. Well, what will my wife think? What will my husband think? Or, you know, I don't want to be fanatical now. But only Jesus can do instantaneous heart surgery with a perfect heart that will never falter and be rejected without one single piece of blood being dropped. Can you say amen to that? Okay, Ezekiel isn't done yet. Ezekiel 36. Now we're getting into familiar territory. You have Ezekiel 36. This is incredible. So you see, in the Old Testament, they understood this issue that we need today. And in their crisis, this is what the prophet told them. In our crisis, this is what Jesus is saying. Do you have 26 and 27? Moreover, I give you a new heart, and I put a new spirit where? Within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances. You cannot be a faithful Seventh-day Adventist Christian, even if you're doing right, if you don't have the Holy Spirit. And by the way, you can conform outwardly. You can. You can appear to all of us to be very pious and be lost. Because unless these are coming from the inside of you, because the Spirit dwells in you, you are just deceiving yourself and everyone else around you. So Jesus said something incredible. He said, the kingdom of God is within you. We need to invite Him in. Galatians 2, in last text, Galatians 2. I want to sing a song with you. Galatians, the second chapter. Everybody know this? Galatians 2:20, right away, people say, what's the first words? Oh, you're timid. Look what Paul said. Hey, the preeminent New Testament theological scholar who wrote the vast majority of the book, or the New Testament, here's what he says in verse 20. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. What a mouthful. But Paul says it. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Brothers and sisters, are you unprepared? If Jesus is not your personal Lord and Savior, and on a daily basis you are not struggling with your human nature and surrendering to Christ, then you are unprepared for what's coming. 4,000 gathered for midday prayer in downtown Cathedral. A New York City church filled and emptied six times last Tuesday. The owner of a Manhattan tennis shoe store threw open his doors and gave running shoes to those fleeing the towers. People stood in line to give blood in hospitals, to treat the sick, and in sanctuaries to pray for the wounded. America was different this week. We wept for people we did not know. We sent money to families we never seen. Talk show hosts read scripture. Journalists printed prayers. Our focus shifted from fashion hemlines and box scores to orphans and widows and the future of the world. We were different this week. Republicans stood next to Democrats. Catholics prayed with Jews. Skin color was covered by the ash of burning towers. This is a different country than it was a week ago. We're not as self-centered as we were. We are not as self-reliant as we are. Hands are out. Knees are bent. This is not normal. And I have a question to ask. Do you want to go back to normal? Are we being given a glimpse of a new way of life? Are we as a nation being reminded that the enemy is not each other and the power is not in And the power is not in ourselves, and the future is not in our bank accounts. Could this unselfish prayerfulness be the way God intends for us to live all along? Maybe this, in His eyes, is the way we are called to live. And perhaps the best response to this tragedy is to refuse to go back to normal. We can do something about it as well. We can resolve to care more. We can resolve to pray more. We can resolve that, God being our helper, we'll never go back to normal again. That was written by Max Lucado a week after the towers came down. Brothers and sisters, the kingdom of God is within you. And may it be that way until He comes. Father, I want to thank You for the challenge of this morning, that You would help us to understand the paramount of a relationship with You. And also, Lord, give us an insight at how deeply all of us are really embedded in this world, and that it is keeping us from being more spiritual and from being more of a help, as well as being unprepared. Father, thank You that no one in this sanctuary has an advantage over anyone else, for the Holy Spirit has free access to all. The difference is who will invite the presence to come in. Father, my prayer is that right now, 100% of this congregation, including children, will say in their minds, Jesus, come into my heart. Let the kingdom of God be in me and teach me the direction You want me to go. And thank You for hearing this prayer and all the prayers offered this moment, because we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Take the name of Jesus with you. Hymn number 474. Shall we stand together and sing?
Precious name, oh how sweet, birth and mark and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Take the name of Jesus ever as a shield from every snare. If temptations round you gather, breathe that holy name in prayer. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy from heaven. Oh, the precious name of Jesus, how it thrills our soul with joy.
service. I want to stop for a moment because I sense that the Lord is here in a mighty way this morning. And maybe some of you don't feel prepared. Maybe some of you do feel that you've been lax, or maybe that you have been callous, or maybe that you have been uninformed because we've been so busy. And I want you to know that a church is a hospital for sinners. It's a place where we come for healing. And even as we sing this closing verse of this beautiful hymn, even now in your mind you can talk to the Lord and ask Him to be with you in a special way. And ask Him in the privacy of communion with Him to do for you what you need done. Please don't hesitate or think that that isn't valid, because it is. And so as we sing this last verse, I want you to truly communicate with the Lord. Even if you stop singing, to say something to Him in your head. Because God has a great work that He wants to accomplish through us and through you. And He won't fail you. Let's sing.